Ronan was a warrior from the land of the midnight sun, with a Thompson gun for hire, fighting to be done. The deal was made in Denmark on a dark and stormy day, so he set out for Biafra to join the bloody fray.
Hello everyone, Bob Main here, and you are listening to another episode of the Handgun World Show, episode number 44 to be exact. And if you're a first time listener or you're relatively new, thanks for tuning in. You're going to find that I do a practical show. I don't get real technical. I'm not ex-law enforcement. I'm not ex-military. I'm not a gunsmith. I'm just a private citizen. I'm just a guy that likes to carry a pistol for self-defense. I talk about practical ideas on this show. I give you personal experiences. So if you want to learn how to trick out your AR-15 or trick out your 1911 and make it shoot inch and a half groups at 25 yards, I'm not your guy for that. I just talk about practical everyday ideas. And if you have been listening to me for a long time, thank you. You know, I'm flattered, folks. I got to tell you, I just started doing this show last summer. And if you had told me back then that I'd have over 400 listeners every time I do this podcast, I would have thought you're nuts, but thank you. Obviously, you're enjoying what I'm saying, so I'm just going to keep on doing it. So what am I going to talk about in this podcast? Well, I'm going to give you another example. I'm going to read another email to you from a listener. I did that in the last show. I got another good one. And then I'm going to talk about a specific pistol. Every once in a while, I do gun reviews. But I only do a gun review if I own the gun or if I had a chance to shoot it. And today, I got a chance to shoot a gun, somebody else's, one that I don't own, and I'm going to do a review on it. And if you're looking for a good pocket-sized 380, stay tuned. But before I get into that, I want to talk to you about another email here from a listener. Folks, by the way, those of you who are sending me emails, thank you. Keep doing that. This is your show. You've heard me say before, I'm just the guy behind a microphone. All right, I'm a Yankee. I live in Texas. I live in Dallas, Fort Worth. I'm just a Yankee with a gun and a microphone, okay? I was raised in Wisconsin. I was born in New York City, came here to Dallas, got into concealed carry 5 years ago. Go back and listen to one of my other episodes. I explained to you what got me into concealed carry. Had an incident happen to me outside of a Walmart shortly after midnight, a little over 5 years ago. So after that, I said, all right, folks, I'm carrying a gun. This is Texas, and I can carry. So I got my license. Anyway, let me share this email to you. I have a listener, a couple listeners actually, from England. And unfortunately, over there in England, they can't even own handguns, to the best of my knowledge. They certainly can't conceal carry. So to all of you who are international listeners, I know there's somebody who listens to me from Australia as well. In fact, the Australia listener emailed me a pretty interesting synopsis of what he has to go through to carry a gun. It's unbelievable. I just can't believe they're that restrictive. So for you in the United States who are listening, be thankful, even if you live in a state where concealed carry is restrictive. There's people in other countries that don't get the chance to defend themselves with a gun, and I think that's terrible. But let me read to you this email. Of course, obviously, like normal, I'm not going to give you his name, but here he goes. It says, I have a story you may want to put on the next podcast, Bob. I read it in my local newspaper. Remember now, this person's in Great Britain. A father and son had been out for a dinner. They had been celebrating a special occasion. Anyway, after the meal, and they had a chat together, his son said goodbye, and the man went home and went off in the opposite direction. The dad walked home because he lived about a half a mile away from the restaurant where he and his son had been eating. It was about 11:30 p.m. at this point, and as he was walking home down a very dimly lit and quiet road, a group of five men were hanging around. One of them asked him for a light, and he said, "Sorry, guys, I don't smoke." And with that, he was beaten up. And according to the newspaper, he was actually quite seriously hurt. This is, sadly, a true story. However, what if that man was allowed to carry a gun? Quite likely, the mob of thugs would have left him alone, or he would have given them what they deserved. I'd like you to share this with other listeners on the show and just mention that the country is England, where we are not allowed to carry pistols. And I'll bet you, and by the way, sir, thank you for emailing that to me. I'll bet you that scenario where somebody is approached and outnumbered 5-1, I bet you that happens all the time. It just happened to be that this newspaper in England picked up this story. But again, I like stories like that because it reaffirms to me that this is why we carry. And if somebody's listening to this show and you're not a real big fan of guns, that's okay. Okay, if you're not a big fan of guns, I'm not sure why you're listening. But anyway, I'm glad you're tuning in to me. If you're not a big fan of concealed carry, that's okay. Really. I mean, I wish you'd change your mind, but that's okay. And by the way, folks, you can disagree with anything I want on this show. Anytime that you want to disagree with me, that's fine. There's a comment section for every podcast. But if you don't like guns or don't believe that you should carry them or the people should carry them, you're welcome to have those beliefs. I just ask you a favor. Don't interfere with those of us who do believe that we should carry them and who do want to exercise our right under the Second Amendment of the Constitution of the United States of America. Now, this particular story came from England, where they don't have the same rights under their Constitution that we have under ours. But the Second Amendment of the United States does contain the clause that says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And I certainly hope that shortly that the United States Supreme Court reaffirms that it is a national individual right to defend ourselves. See, why do you want to deny, for those of you who may not like concealed carry, why do you want to deny a man like this and many, many other thousands of people, even women, who encounter a group of 5 thugs in the middle of the night, why do you want to deny them the opportunity to defend themselves? I can't wrap my brain around that for some reason, why people have a problem with that. But anyway, some people do, but thank you for listening to my show. And sir, thank you, even though you're listening to me from a country where you can't conceal carry, I appreciate that very much. Okay. Let me shift gears a little bit. I want to knock out a couple of announcements, and then I'm going to get into a gun review. If you are listening to me on iTunes, you can find my show at Handgun World Show on iTunes. Just search Handgun World Show, subscribe to me. You'll get automatic downloads. If you're listening off the website, you've probably found me at the web address handgunworld.com. Handgunworld.com. Also, don't forget to check out my YouTube channel. On YouTube, you can search Handgun World Show. I've got 5 or 6 videos up there of various things. Check them out, and you'll get a chance to see this good-looking guy behind the microphone that likes to talk to you. All right. Now that I have engaged in enough self-flattery there, I don't like to make my show real commercial. So let's dive into the main topic matter. A listener who lives here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area emailed me a couple weeks ago and asked me if I wanted to shoot his gun and try it out and do a podcast. So that's exactly what I did. He owns a Diamondback 380. Now, I just recently have heard of this gun. I've been reading about it on the internet. And so I was thrilled when he emailed me and said, come try out the Diamondback 380, shoot it, do a review on it, and make a podcast on it. If you're looking for a very pocketable backup pistol. Again, as I've mentioned many times, I think these little mouse guns are backup guns. I don't think that they should be primary concealed carry weapons. I think you should have a larger caliber with higher capacity if it's going to be your primary weapon. That's just my humble opinion. All right, but these are fantastic backup guns. And the 380 pocket pistol, polymer frame pocket pistol, is probably, I would say right now, the most popular selling gun on the market. Not just this Diamondback 380, but all 380s. You notice that almost every manufacturer is getting into 380s. I even heard that Smith & Wesson is coming up with a Bodyguard 380. They're going to call it the Bodyguard series. Everybody, all the gun manufacturers are getting into the pocket 380 scene. What does that tell you? It tells you that a lot of people are gravitating towards small guns that are easy to conceal. And when you can't carry any gun at all, they're better than nothing. So, the Diamondback 380. I met him at a range here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area just about an hour ago, actually, at the time of recording this podcast. We just finished up shooting about an hour ago. And he let me shoot, I think it was about probably 75 or 80 rounds through this little gun. Now, Before I get into you what I thought of the gun and how it shot and so forth and the positives and the negatives, let me tell you about who Diamondback is. They're a newcomer. This is the first gun they've ever made. But Diamondback Airboats is the parent company. They make airboats. They're out of Florida. They were established in 1989, and they built their reputation on new designs of airboats. And they build high-quality airboats. They have a proven design, from what I understand, and a proven workmanship. And they use 5086 marine-grade aluminum alloys for their boats. And I believe they make boats for search and rescue teams, law enforcement, weed control companies, even for seismic purposes, for tours, for transportations. They make work boats. They have a 24,000 square foot facility with state-of-the-art equipment. They have a 400-ton, 24-foot CNC press brake, CNC automotive horizontal bandsaw, CNC tubex bender, and a CNC vertical machining center, all this fancy tools and stuff that I don't even understand. But I guess they're using it. They're using this equipment for making their airboats. It also said from their website they are a provider of boats for the U.S. Coast Guard. They offer repairs and maintenance, custom fabrication, so on and so forth. And they're a GSA contractor, and they are in Cocoa, Florida. So they're not a newcomer to the manufacturing industry. They might be a newcomer to the gun industry, but not to manufacturing. Now, as I did some research on Diamondback pistols, there's a lot of people on the internet trashing them. And you know what bothers me about people who trash guns on the internet? 90%. Of the trash talking on the internet is by people who have never shot or owned a gun. That kind of bothers me. Okay, now I've seen a few internet posts where people do own the gun. And if you own it and you've shot it, you know, you got a right to opine on what you think of it. I'm going to tell you this. When I shot this gun, I was quite impressed. I was quite impressed. It's a very soft recoiling gun. It's very similar to a baby Glock. Apparently, Diamondback, I think, hired a couple people that came over from Kel-Tec. It's like a high-quality Kel-Tec P380. Okay? It does have an adjustable rear sight, which I liked. It's got a fixed front sight. It's a real sight. It's not a sight that's machined into the frame. It's a real sight, which I like. Of course, you know, with little guns like this, you're probably not going to use the sights. Okay, I call these little guns bad breath guns because you're probably going to be using it where you have to defend yourself within bad breath distance. You know, probably 3 to 10 feet. And you're probably not even going to use sights on little guns like this. You're probably just going to point them and shoot. All right, that's why everybody should take a point shooting class to learn how to just point and shoot and put your rounds on target, which I'm excited to do. I'm going to do that in May. Take a point shooting class. Of course, I'll be doing probably one or two podcasts on that when I do. But I do like the fact that this gun has real sights, kind of like my car P380. Okay, it's not the same kind of sights, but it's got real sights. So in case you do have the time to get a sight picture, that's one real positive of it. It's shaped very much like a baby Glock. Even the internals. This listener let me take apart his gun. We field stripped it, and I looked inside, and it's a striker-fired gun just like the Glocks, and it's very, very similar. And even the frame, the trigger guard, is very similar to the Glock, and it's very soft shooting. It's double-sprung. It's got a double recoil spring in it. I also like the fact that I can get at least two fingers on the grip, which is very important. The two most important fingers, the third and fourth finger on your hand, wrap around there, and it's got a pretty good size girth to it. For a 380, it's got a pretty good size girth on the grip. It's got a lot bigger girth on it than my car 380. You might think, well, I don't know if I like that because it might be harder to conceal. No. I beg to differ. I actually took this gun after we got done shooting. I double-checked that it was unloaded, and I actually slipped it inside of my pocket holster. And it fits in the same DeSantis Nemesis pocket holster that I carry my car 380 in. And you can carry your Kel-Tec P380 in the same holster. Fits in there just fine. Very, very easy to conceal and a very soft shooter. And I'll put a picture of the gun in the podcast posting so you can see a picture of it. It looks very, very much like a baby Glock. This is kind of like a single stack pocketable Glock pistol is what it sort of looks like. Even though these guys came from Kel-Tec, it looks like they kind of combined the Kel-Tec and combined the Glock together and made a small little pistol out of it. One interesting thing I noticed is when I field stripped it and took the barrel out, the barrel is very similar to the barrel inside the Kel-Tec P3AT. Probably because the people who designed this, from what the rumor has it is, they defected from Kel-Tec and went over to Diamondback and helped design the pistol. Now let me talk about the trigger. The trigger is far better than any other 380 that I've ever shot, with the exception of my car arms. Now, I have not yet actually fired the SIG P238. I've dry fired it. Matter of fact, at the same range that I was just at, they had a SIG P238. I might just go buy, because it's got a very, very good price tag on it. But with the exception of the SIG in the car, this is the best trigger I've ever felt on a pocket size 380. It's not as long of a trigger pull as the Kel-Tec or the Ruger LCP. I've shot a Ruger LCP, by the way. It breaks cleaner. Now, it has a lot of take-up to it. I didn't like the fact that it had a lot of take-up. But you can get used to that. With a lot of practice, you can get used to a lot of take-up. And then all of a sudden, towards the end of the trigger pull, that thing breaks and it fires nicely. It did take me, I'd say, about 30 rounds to get used to this gun. Now, if you follow the Bob Main Handgun World Show philosophy and you give every gun you own a 1,000-round trigger job, this gun's going to be no problem for you. It's quite accurate. Quite accurate. I rolled the target all the way out to about 10 yards. And it was giving me nice groups. Once I got used to it, I was all over the place at first because I had never shot the gun before. But once I got used to the trigger, after about 30 rounds or so, I settled down and I was able to put, you know, couple inch groups. And from these little bitty guns like this, 2-inch groups at 10 yards isn't bad. If I practice, if I owned this gun and gave it a 1,000-round trigger job, I guarantee you something. I'd have better than 2-inch groups at 10 yards. And that's all you can ask for out of these little pocket 380s. I had my car P380 there, and my listener got to shoot that. And one of the things that he noticed is after I fired about 50 rounds with the Diamondback 380, I loaded up my car 380, and my groups were a lot better. Now, why were the groups better with my car? Doesn't mean that the gun's any better. I'm more used to shooting it. I've given my car 380 a 1,000-round trigger job. I found out something about my car, though. I'm gonna sidestep away from the Diamondback for a minute. This was quite a learning experience doing this, because what I found out about my car 380 is it does not like Fiocchi ammo. This listener brought a couple boxes of Fiocchi, and my car was jamming with the Fiocchi ammo. It has never jammed with any other ammo. As a matter of fact, I loaded up a magazine full of Corban DPX 380, and it fed those perfectly. But a couple of magazines, it choked with the Fiocchi ammo. The Fiocchi ammo is actually a little bit shorter and fatter bullet, and my car 380 didn't like it. Okay, that's one thing I don't really particularly care about a lot of these 380s, these pocket 380s, is a lot of them are very ammo finicky. All of them are very ammo finicky, it seems like. So if you're going to buy and own and carry a pocket 380, I want to make a huge suggestion to you. Give it a 1,000-round trigger job, make sure you're proficient with it, and then find the ammunition that it likes best and stick with that ammunition. My car 380 loves the Corban DPX rounds. Never had a malfunction with it yet. So I'm going to keep loading it with the Corban. In fact, I believe so much in the Corban DPX anyway that I'm glad my car 380 likes it. The Diamondback. Reliability was decent. I did have a couple of malfunctions with the Fiocchi, but he also had some Hornady Critical Defense 380, and that Diamondback just chewed up that Hornady 380 and spit it out like nobody's business. It ate that stuff up fantastic. So to my listener who carries that gun, I would strongly suggest that you use that Hornady Critical Defense. If that gun loves it, keep you know, put that in there because when I shot it, it ran that stuff perfectly. Okay, I brought along a box of 50 of the American Eagle 380 full metal jacket. That Diamondback had no problem with that. So aside from a couple malfunctions in 75 rounds, probably due to ammo, again, these little pocket guns can be very finicky about ammunition. This is why I say don't make this your primary carry pistol. Again, you know, if you can't carry any gun, I saw somebody on the internet post, he said a pocket 380 is the gun that you carry when you can't carry a gun. That's kind of funny, but actually there's a lot of truth to that. But functionality is very good. One thing I like about this Diamondback 380 is it's so simple. I mean, it's so simple, like a Glock. It's also very smooth on the exterior. It's great for carrying. There's nothing on this gun that will snag on your clothes. That's one thing you got to be aware of with any kind of concealed carry gun. There are no rough edges. One edge that I'm going to give the Diamondback over my car is I really don't like the slide release lever, which is also the takedown lever on any of my car pistols. It's very sharp, and it could be prone to snagging on clothing. This Diamondback does not have that. It does not have a slide stop lever. So what I really like about this is you got to use the slingshot method to chamber around, which you should anyway. But very, very smooth on the exterior of the pistol. It's got a beveled front part of the slide. Just this thing is set up for carrying, and it should be, and that's what I really, really like about it. And again, recoil very, very soft. So functionality, I'll give this thing a B+. Reliability, I'll give it a B. Looks, it looks like a Glock. All right, I don't give a rat's patookie about looks. I'll tell you that right up front. To me, a gun is a tool, folks. You know, there's an old saying that 1911s are what you show your friends and Glocks are what you show your enemies. Now, I'm not trying to knock all of you 1911 owners out there. Trust me when I say this. I say this with all sincerity. 1911s are fabulous pistols. And if you got a good, reliable one and you've trained with it and you know how to shoot it, you are a heck of a warrior or a civilian sheepdog with that 1911. So that's just kind of a funny joke. But I really don't give a rip about looks. If the gun works, if it's accurate, if it's functional and reliable, it's going to shoot a bad guy just like a good-looking gun would. So, even though I'll give this Diamondback a C on looks, the looks aren't that great, I don't care. But for those of you who might be interested, no, the looks aren't that terrific. It's not a really pretty gun. Okay, although this listener bought this gun for his wife, and his wife owns it. So, maybe she's not all that concerned with the looks either. Fit and finish is excellent. I like the fit and finish. Not quite as highly finished and refined as my car. Not quite as highly finished and refined as the SIG P238 that the gun range had on the counter. But the fit and finish is good enough. It's a tight gun. Okay, it's real tight. I think they say you have to give these guns a couple hundred rounds break-in period. You know, I ignore break-in periods because for me, like I said, I believe in 1,000-round trigger jobs. I believe that the shooter needs just as much break-in as the gun, if you want to know the truth. Seriously. I think every shooter has a break-in period. And that is 1,000 rounds. But, fit and finish is good. It's a tight gun, tight tolerances. Weight. The weight's about the same as the Kel-Tex or the Ruger LCPs. It is a little bit larger gun, but it is very thin. And the weight, I think the weight might be a couple of ounces more. I'll do some research, and when I post a podcast, I'll put some notes in there comparing it to the Kel-Tec and the Ruger LCP. Accuracy, just fine. I mentioned I got good groups out of it earlier in the podcast. I was telling you about the groups I got. Okay, so I'm okay with the accuracy. Magazines. Comes with two magazines, I believe. They're good quality magazines. I'm pretty impressed with the quality of the magazines. Very well done. When I had my Kel-Tec P380, nothing against those of you who own that pistol, but I always thought the magazines on the Kel-Tec were pretty cheap. And I just couldn't have a lot of faith and trust in the magazines. The Diamondback gun, the magazines are fine. I do understand, though, from what I've heard, you can put the Kel-Tec magazines in the Diamondback. And it works just fine. I don't know if I'd do that, though, because I'm not a real big fan of those Kel-Tec magazines. They're cheap, but I like the quality of the magazines that came with this little Diamondback pistol. Okay? One thing I forgot to mention, the trigger's very comfortable as well. I don't think the trigger on the Kel-Tecs and Rugers are very comfortable. You know, take that gun, take a Kel-Tec or a Ruger to the range and shoot about 150 rounds through it. Do it in one range session and tell me what your fingers feel like. I didn't notice any kind of pain whatsoever in shooting this. And this is what I look for in these little pocket 380s. One of the things that sold me on my car 380 is I had a chance to actually shoot one. I got them right when they first came out. But somebody that I know got like one of the first 10 that were ever shipped. And I happened to know him, and he let me shoot it, and I was very impressed with how soft it felt and how soft of a shooter it was. This Diamondback is just as soft. So I rate the shootability of it very high. In fact, I'll give it an A in terms of shootability. This is a great gun for female shooters. You know, in the last couple podcasts ago when I did that show on women and guns, you know, I said don't automatically assume that women need to have a 380. And I still stand behind that. But if she has to have a small 380, you really want to might strongly consider this Diamondback. I like the fact that it doesn't have a safety. Okay? You know me. I'm a big fan of guns with no manual safety. I almost walked out of the range with that SIG P238 because he's got a great, great price on it. But the reason I didn't buy it is it's got that thumb safety. You know, the SIG P238 is very much like the old Colt Mustangs. The Colt Mustang 380s. It's almost a carbon copy of that. I'm still having a tough time learning to shoot my 1911 9mm that I recently purchased. Again, I got to train myself on that safety. The jury's still out. I'm not sure if I'm going to ever get used to that. Okay? If you're a 1911 shooter and you've trained with them, you will love the SIG 238. In fact, I'd suggest you buy that little 380 SIG if you are a 1911 shooter and you are looking for an excellent pocket 380. But for those of you who are like me that don't believe in guns with safeties or don't particularly like them, then that's another area where I'm going to give this Diamondback an A, is that it's so simple. I mean, draw the thing, pull the trigger, and shoot. That's all you got to worry about, and I like that. Okay? Now, the finish on the gun, the actual finish, it is black. It's an all-black gun. And it appears to have a Glock type of finish on the slide. Of course, it's a polymer frame, so you don't have to worry about the finish on that. I don't think it's got a Tenefer finish like the Glock does. But it seems pretty durable. I really wish they made that gun with a stainless steel slide. They may end up doing that. I like guns with stainless steel slides, except of course for my Glocks, because I think nothing beats the finish of a Glock slide. Nothing beats that finish. Even all stainless steel, I don't think holds up as well as the Tenefer finish on a Glock slide. But this Diamondback seems good enough. You know, I mean, most people are going to pocket carry this gun. And if you're carrying it inside of a soft pocket holster, you're not going to have to worry about the finish. It's probably never going to wear on you. You know, now, if you were to carry this thing in a Kydex holster and you're drawing and, you know, you're doing lots of drills where you're practicing drawing your gun out of the Kydex, you might wear the finish off. But you're probably not going to do that with a gun like this. You should train with these little pocket 380s. Yes, you should train with them. But you know, you're probably not going to be shooting IDPA matches with these guns, okay? So I wouldn't worry too much about the finish of it. It's good enough, okay? So what this gun is designed for and for its intended purposes, overall, I'll give this gun a B+. Again, I didn't like the couple of malfunctions in 75 rounds, but it might be an ammo sensitive pistol, which, as I mentioned, a lot of these mouse guns are ammo sensitive. The price range, I believe, you can get them if you shop around for less than $400, which is good. It's a very affordable pistol. My car 380 was a bit pricey. And some of these SIGs are a bit pricey as well. So, you know, if you're on a budget, this Diamondback could be exactly what you're looking for. So in summary, would I carry it as a primary carry weapon? Absolutely not, because I would never carry any pocket 380 as a primary all the time carry. Would I feel comfortable carrying this as a backup gun? Yes, I would. Got no problems with it. So there's my initial thoughts on the Diamondback 380 ACP pistol. And if any of you own one, or if because of this podcast you go out and buy one, and after you put about a few hundred rounds through it, jump on the blog and insert some comments at the bottom of this podcast and let us know what you think of it. Okay? I would welcome those comments. Now, before I wrap up the show, I want to tell you about another gun that I saw while I was at that range that I darn near walked out. See, what are the, this is, I'll tell you what, this is a dangerous hobby, folks. I don't mean dangerous in terms of physical danger. This hobby of shooting is dangerous on the wallet. It's economically dangerous because there's another gun in there that I almost walked out with, and that is one of the new Glock 19s with the what they call RTF finish. I think RTF stands for rich texture finish. Anyway, it's a textured grip, and Glock has done a pretty good job with the texture. One downside of Glocks is that if your hands are sweaty, or if their hands are a little bit greasy, Glocks can slide around a lot in your hands if you don't have the proper grip. And even if you do have the proper grip, especially if you're shooting a 40 caliber or 45 Glock, when your hands are sweaty, if you don't put some kind of skateboard tape on them or if you don't texture the grip, they can slide around a lot. Well, Glock is now putting out the RTF textured Glocks, and man, it's not too aggressive. But it's textured enough to where, man, my hand is not going to slide on that pistol. And I don't need another Glock 19. I've already got two of them. But, boy, I love those guns so much. It's tempting to get myself one of those with the RTF texture. Yeah, I could have it textured, or I could texture it myself. But I like buying them, you know, when they're done by the factory. It just looks cool. You know, there I go talking about looks again, right? I was downplaying looks a little while ago, but I just love the way my hand is not going to slip on that Glock 19. It feels fantastic. So I may just have to save my pennies and get one of those RTF Glock 19s. Now if Glock ends up making the Glock 26 with that nice rough texture on it, now that might be real appealing, because when I shoot my Glock 26 without the magazine extension for my pinky, sometimes that has a tendency to slip a little bit too. I like to put skateboard tape all over my grips, but boy, I tell you what, one of those Glocks with the RTF texture in the 26 and the 27, 9mm and 40. Glock, if you're listening, that would be very good to design as well. Okay, folks, with that, I am going to go ahead and I'm going to close this show. Kind of a short show, but I wanted to, while it was fresh in my mind, I wanted to give you my thoughts on the Diamondback 380, and I wanted to share that email from a listener with you. So, my name is Bob Main. This is the Handgun World Show. You've just listened to another episode. Listen to me talk about my favorite hobby and favorite pastime, and you've just listened to the 44th episode of the Handgun World Show. And why do I carry a gun? Because I can't carry a cop. Please remember to support the show and check out my YouTube channel again there. Got a couple of cool IDPA videos on there, and I just did a video on how to grip a pistol. I demonstrate gripping my Glock 34. Now, I show you what works for me. All right? I'm not a absolute tactician when it comes to gripping and shooting, but the thumbs forward grip works for me, and if you practice it, you'll really soften the recoil and you'll have great control over your pistol. So check that out and check some of my concealed carry methods. I demonstrate carrying my Glock 26 and my Carp 380 as a backup gun on YouTube as well. So go to there, and thanks again for listening, folks, for another episode, and I'll catch you next time.
In Ireland, in Lebanon, in Palestine, in Berkeley,